Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It's so nice to be here with you all this morning. I'm going to share my screen, and so you can see that. Give me a second. Okay, so, well, first, what I want to do is just introduce myself and say thank you again for having me this morning. I, you know, haven't been to church in a while, and it's just really, it's special because I remember growing up with the songs and the community, and I love that sense, and I've really been enjoying that this morning. Thank you. I'm glad I got a chance to listen in earlier. I also want to say thank you to Mike and Jinky, who are my dear, dear friends and are my connection to your group, and I'm glad I could be here for that. Listening to Fannie Lou Hamer and her testimonial this morning made me think a lot about the importance of voting and why I vote. And, you know, I just want to give you a little bit of background about myself and just kind of how I got into doing this work. I'm from Southern California originally, and my parents were both pretty politically engaged. They knew what was going on. And as I was growing up, I would see my dad, you know, yelling at the news about Bush and something about war and what was going on. And that, I think, really helped me into understanding that this was an important part of life. And I think also Japanese American and having my grandparents incarcerated during World War II really also showed me the importance of being engaged and knowing that it's important to, you know, believe in our democracy, but also speak up when you see that there's something that's wrong. So that's kind of why I think that political work has been so important to me. And I want to speak a little bit about the League of Women Voters. So this is the group that I'm a part of, and Jinky is a part of as well. We're both on the board. I currently serve as the Voter Services Director. And the League is a nonpartisan political organization. Something else I want to share a little bit about my story is that I left high school in the middle of 10th grade. I, you know, had a lot going on at home, and it, you know, I was working a lot, and it kind of just made sense at the time. But the thing was that I never got a chance to take the government class that most folks get to take in their senior year of college, of high school. So I didn't really get to learn about our political system until I took political science classes at Berkeley City College. And through those classes and through the work that I did with the League, that's really how I found out exactly how the government worked and how I could be engaged. And I think that during this time when our political system is so frustrating for people, and I think people, a lot of people who feel very disheartened by what's going on now with our president and with just the economy and health and the environment and all these different areas. And I have to say that of all the things that I'm doing right now, the League of Women Voters is what really gives me a lot of hope. The work that I'm doing with the League really makes me feel like, you know, I'm connected to the community and that I'm giving back and doing my part. And the testimonials earlier from your congregants, I think also show that too, that there's hope in the work that we're doing. So I just want to share that with you all today. So my topic is voting during COVID-19, but I kind of want to touch on a couple of other things that you all might know about already. So I hope that if this is a bit of a refresher, then it's still useful for you just as a reminder. One thing I know a lot of folks know who is eligible to vote, but one thing I really want to highlight for you all this morning is that there are many folks who don't realize that they can register to vote. Namely folks who are in jail, they can actually register and vote. A lot of people don't realize that. As long as you're just not in state or federal prison or on parole for a felony conviction, you can register to vote. Also, 16 and 17 year olds can pre-register to vote. So when I was speaking with someone earlier about, like, you know, when she turned 21, she was telling me, she was telling me that she didn't go into a bar for her first time when she turned 21. She went and registered to vote. And I think that we think of 18 as being like, oh, that's that time. But actually in California, 16 and 17 year olds can pre-register. So when you turn 16, that should be like your mark where you can start to enter into that sort of pre-registration phase. So I just wanted to highlight that for folks because I think it's important. Part of this election, I think the things that we should know for this election is all of the facts. I think one of the ways that folks are being disenfranchised this year, one of the ways that we see voter suppression is actually just misinformation. So I encourage you all, you know, this is some information, some facts for you all today. I encourage you to take this information and share this with folks. And also, you know, if folks are spreading misinformation, even if it's by accident, just to clarify, because we want everybody who can get out there and vote this year and register by October 19th. So when should you register? Again, if you've never registered, if you've moved to change your name or wish to change your political party preference, one of the things we're also telling folks this year is that you should make sure to check your registration. I wish I could see you all, but I'm curious how many folks have received their ballots. I don't know if you can wave your hand. Oh, wow. Okay, great. A lot of you. Oh my gosh, that's excellent. So I'm so glad to hear that. You should let folks know that they should receive their ballot hopefully before October 20th. And if they haven't received it by then, they probably should call because the last day I think to request a mail-in ballot, if it didn't come automatically, which it should have, I think is the 27th. So we really want to make sure that folks get that information. This is the website that I like to registertovote.ca.gov. It's the Secretary of State's website. You can see it's in many different languages. This is another way that, oh, someone's showing me their I voted sticker. That's nice. You can see that there are many different languages here. That's really important because we want this to be accessible to as many people as possible. This website, what I like is that you can register here, pre-register, or check your status. So like I said, you know, many of you received your ballots already, so you won't need to do this, but I think it's important for everyone this year to just check your registration status. And it's a good process anyway, just to make sure you know what's there. Another resource I really wanted to share with you all this year is Voters Edge. I can see you if I open up this little screen here. How many of you have used votersedge.org before? Maybe raise your hand. Ah, not as many folks. Okay, good. That's great for me to know. So Voters Edge is this really great website. You put in your address and it tells you everything that's going to be on your ballot this year. So that's everything from candidates to ballot measures. And it gives you the pros and cons of the ballot measures. It tells you who's paying for the different ballot measures. And it tells you folks if they're endorsing, supporting, or opposing. And that's really helpful information as you're filling out your ballot. If you haven't filled out your ballot yet, I highly recommend this resource. A lot of folks like to use the Easy Voter Guide as well. It's kind of an easy way to do your voter homework. The other thing I really like about Voters Edge is that you can select what you are interested in voting for so that you can remember that afterwards. Oh, thank you. Someone's putting in the chat the links to those things. Very good. So when do we vote? Okay, so this is obviously really important. I've been hearing a lot of conflicting information about this, but basically as soon as possible, as soon as you're able to read your ballot, know what's on there, feel informed, make your decision, get it out as soon as possible. I know that there's a lot of concern about the mail this year. I just want to say that the mail is safe, but the mail has also got a lot of pressure on it right now. And as I'm sure most of you probably know, the new postmaster, there have been a lot of cuts, which is impacting the service. So I highly recommend that if you are interested in dropping off your ballot as opposed to going to a polling place, that you drop it into a ballot drop box. So I think that, I don't know why, I think I cut it off at the bottom of my screen here. You can actually go onto the Registrar of Voters website and it will tell you where you should go to make sure that you can drop your ballot in a ballot drop box. And those are open 24/7. So you can kind of just drive by, maybe have your your kid or your grandkid jump out and throw it into the slot. It's a pretty easy way to do that. There are accessible polling stations open. What's nice is that they'll be open October 31st, which is Halloween, till November 3rd. And you can go to any of the polling stations in Alameda County. So that should make it easier for you. Although I know a lot of folks are concerned because they're used to going to their typical polling place. That's another thing you want to look up on the Registrar of Voters website. And then of course, election day is November 3rd, but think of that as like, you want to do that. You want to vote way before that date comes. Okay, I'm looking, I know there's more chat things. I just want to say it. Registered Voters website. It is acvote.org, I believe. Hold on, let me see. Let me look that up and I will make sure. Ah, here it is, there you go. There it is. Okay, so this is acvote.org. There it is. Yep. /community/partnerships. It's a strange place that they have it on their website this year. But this website at the bottom, the Alameda County one, that one shows you where your ballot drop boxes are and your accessible voting locations. And just in case our folks are curious why we're still doing in-person voting in the middle of a pandemic, it's because there are some folks who have disabilities or they can't access voting because of a language barrier. That's really why they're doing accessible voting places, because they really are trying to encourage folks to mail it or drop it in a drop box if just for safety's sake. And just little reminders here that you don't need postage to mail your ballot, and also to make sure you sign and date your ballot regardless of how you submit it. Okay, so another group I really wanted to share with you all today is how many of you knew that you could track your ballot this year? Anybody? Okay, quite a few. All right, very good. So there's this really great website. It's through the Secretary of State's office, so it is legitimate. And you put in your information and it'll tell you when your ballot is coming to you, although most of you have your ballots. And it will also tell you, when your ballot's counted. And I think that that's really valuable to folks who are a little bit concerned about voting this year. There are some studies that have showed that that this resource makes folks feel a lot more comfortable and confident about voting. So california.ballottracks.net/voter. Awesome. Okay. All right. Another important tip here, if you're having any issues, you can call the voter hotline there, or just contact your local Registrar of Voters. I think for all of you or most of you, Alameda County is your Registrar of Voters. So if you go to that tiny URL, you will actually be able to go to the Registrar of Voters website that is for your area. I'm assuming you're all Alameda County though, so that AC Vote website would be the website. Okay. So that's all the basic facts that I wanted to share with you all today. But something else I wanted to sort of talk about is what you all can do this election. And I'm hoping someone's gonna give me a little time warning, just because I wanna make sure I'm not going over time. There are so many things that you can do this year. I think even if you can't vote, even if you're not a citizen, even if you aren't old enough, doesn't matter who you are, getting the information out there to our friends and our neighbors and our community is, I think, the most important thing that we can do. I know we always want to reach out to folks in other states and areas because, we're concerned about who's getting elected, because that is important. But Alameda County, even though there are many of us who are registered to vote, there are still quite a few people who are not registered and who don't vote in every election. And so when we think about, getting involved and getting engaged, there are a lot of people in our local communities who are not engaging. So thinking about that, I think, is really important. And there are, of course, many organizations that you can volunteer with. As the Voter Services Director for League of Women Voters, definitely obviously encourage you to reach out to us as well. I think that things going on. We've just finished all of our candidate forums, which are up on our website, which I will drop in the chat. And we have pro and con forums on the state propositions. We also are doing a bike ride to drop off some literature, socially distanced with masks. And we have a variety of things like lawn signs and stickers and posters and things that we're trying to get out into the community so that folks can have that information about how they can vote this year. I think that voter suppression is not just what we think in terms of physically preventing people or creating policies. It also is all of the little things like having polling places be in different places, giving misinformation. I mean, that can be very confusing for voters. So that's my sort of call to action for all of you this year, is to make sure the information you're spreading is truthful and to make sure you're connecting to folks in your community.